Let me just extend my welcome to you. If you're a visitor with us tonight, you're especially welcome. And it's great just to meet together as the family of God. And tonight, we are going to be starting a new series. We're going to be looking at the book of Judges. The book of Judges is a pretty difficult read, actually, but it's exciting that we're going to be tackling that. In this book, we see God's dealings with his chosen people. His chosen people who he took to the promised land, the land that he gave to them. This book is an important book in the history of Israel. It is God's chosen people. And as part of God's chosen people, there is a lot that we can and that we must learn from this book. As we look at these judges, these flawed judges, we will see that there are aspects of their lives that we can learn from, that we can be encouraged by, but we can be challenged and convicted by. So it's going to be a good series, I do believe, but we're not going to actually look at any judges tonight. We're going to be looking at Judges chapters 1 and chapters 2. God loved his chosen people, and he wished for them to live as his chosen people in the world, in the land he had given them. And we see this before the book of Judges. We see it in Genesis. Sorry, could I get, there's a PowerPoint there. We see it in the book of Genesis, where we find God chose Abraham. God chose and called Abraham to be the father of his chosen people. The Lord said to Abraham, he said this in verse 1 of chapter 12 in Genesis, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." As the chosen people of God, lived as the chosen people of God in the world, they, Abraham was told, were to bless the world. They were to be blessed to blessed. And for us, as the chosen people of God, it is the same thing. We are to be a blessing to the world. God made a covenant with Abraham. God chose Abraham and his family. And because of Jesus, we are part of that family that is to bless the world. Then in Exodus, as we continue on, in Exodus, we find that God's chosen people are in slavery in Egypt. God told Abraham that this would happen. But Moses was chosen by God to lead his people to the promised land. God performed many miracles, signs, and wonders as he delivered them. God did all of this because he loved those people he had chosen. And Moses, before those people, said this in Deuteronomy, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession." God and the people then made a covenant together. We see that in the Ten Commandments. God chose and said, "I will be your God." And the people said that they would be his people. And God gave them the law to help them to live as his chosen people in the land he would give them in the world. God even had them build a tabernacle so that he could dwell with them, in the midst of them. These people, we are told, are God's treasured possession. They are blessed. They are his treasured possession. And then we come to Joshua. And in Joshua, we see him leading the chosen people of God into the promised land, with God winning many victories for them. And then at the end of the book, at the end of his life, Joshua, this great man of God, he stands there before the people and calls the people to see and to acknowledge what God has done for them, because he chose them, all he had provided for them, and that they were to serve him. God's chosen people are his servants. Joshua said this, and we know these verses so well. He said, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." And then he continues to say, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods." The people basically said, yes, the chosen people of God chose to follow God, to live as God's chosen people, to do as God had promised Abraham, to be blessed, to bless the world, to be God's treasured possession, and to serve him. At the start of this series, we need to remind ourselves of the truth and the wonder of what it means to be the chosen people of God. Because if you are a Christian now, if you have accepted Jesus, that is what you are. You are a chosen person of God. We are God's treasured possession. So treasured that he sent us his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to live for us, to be an example to us, to die for us, to take the punishment for our sins. So treasured are we that he sent his only begotten son. We need to start to grasp how amazing God is and how treasured we are. And then he didn't leave us there. He sent his Holy Spirit to dwell within each and every one of us so that he can help us to live our lives for God, bringing glory to God. We have been blessed as Christians, as people who are chosen by God, and we are to bless the world. Because of Jesus, we are blessed, and we are to share the love of Jesus with the world, the sacrifice of Jesus, so that the world, through the message, can come to know him and be blessed. By coming to know our Savior, Jesus Christ, we are his servants, living to glorify God. Why is this important? Well, as we'll see later on, God's chosen people forgot. God's chosen people forgot what it meant to be the chosen people of God. And they messed up, and they messed up big time, going further and further away from God. But we are the chosen people of God. And we can help ourselves to not go like the people, to learn from these people as we grasp, as we try to grasp the importance and the wonder of being the chosen people of God, being blessed to bless, being a treasured possession of our Lord. We're going to read a few verses from Matthew. If you've got your Bibles, please look up Matthew chapter 4. And also Matthew chapter 28. We're going to be looking at the Great Commission, but before that, we're going to look at whenever Jesus called Peter. So it's just a few verses. Chapter 4, verse 18 to 20, and then chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. This is the word of God. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once, they left their nets and followed him. And then turning to the end of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen, and may the Lord bless and challenge us with the reading of his word. So you know, I have split the sermon into three sections. The first bit was earlier on, this is the second, there will be a third. So after this, don't get up and walk out. Well, you might want to, but hey. New starts. A new start. In the new church year, this is September, we like to think of it as a new start. So many things are starting off again. School is starting. It's all about new starts. I actually think that this is the time we should make our New Year's resolutions. And I really think, from a personal point of view, as I've been thinking through this last couple of weeks, that September is also a new start for me personally. The last 12 months, I have had different health issues. A virus which started last September knocked me down for months. I've had two operations. It's just been a funny, weird, crazy, and not altogether great year. But now, you know something? I feel great. And you know why I know I feel great? Because I joined a gym. Oh, I did. It's the second time I've done it in my lifetime. Anyway, so I joined a gym last week because I really want to get fitter. What made me think about this? Well, we had a great holiday a couple of weeks ago in the Lake District. We did lots of exercise, lots of running about, jumping on things, and it was great. The only problem was my five-year-old is fitter than I am. So I was really challenged about getting fit. And as I said, I have joined a gym before, but you know, it didn't actually last. I did it for a little while. It was kind of cool. You know, I got a bag and like a water bottle and stuff, and it was cool. You know, but the initial excitement faded. Other things started to happen. I got married. The job was busy, doing stuff in church. And I just kind of stopped going. And that was like about 10 years ago. So it's taken me a long time to get back on the wheel, the bandwagon, whatever it's called. But I needed a new start. And I've been really good. I've went twice, you know. And I'm intending to go maybe another time. So, but here's the thing. Many of us have so many new starts in our lives. We like to, maybe in the new year, say, I'm going to do this differently, or in September, I'm going to do this differently. We like to have new starts, and new starts are not bad things because we're examining our life, what was happening, and we're going on, and we're trying to make a difference. But as I think about this whole thing spiritually, I am sure there are many here who need a new start spiritually. As we saw earlier, we need to get excited at the wonder of what it means to be God's chosen people. And then we are to live as his chosen people where he has placed us. And maybe for some of us, we've lost that excitement. Maybe we've lost the wonder of being God's chosen people. Maybe we have not been living as his chosen people where he has placed us. Well, it's okay, because new starts can happen, and new starts are important. And as we come to the book of Judges, the chosen people of God are in the land God has given to them. You could say they're getting another new start. Joshua had called them to serve the Lord, and they were all on for it. They were like, yep, let's go for it. This is great. And it's all great. You start reading Judges, and it's like, this is brilliant. At the start of Judges, we see 18 verses of the people of God living as the people of God. And we can learn much, actually, from these 18 verses. And in reality, it's quite simple. A new start with God is simple. First, we are to seek God. Look at Judges. Sorry, I forgot to say to turn to Judges. Turn to Judges chapter 1. I don't have the number. Does anybody want to shout out the number for me? 242. Thank you very much, Serena. But we see at the start of Judges that we are to seek God. Chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord, "Who will be the first to go up and fight for us against the Canaanites?" The Lord answered, "Judah is to go. I have given the land into their hands." God's chosen people, the first thing they do is they seek God. Seeking God's will for their lives. Seeking God's plan and not their own plan. And seeking God is key. That is what we are called to do as believers, as His chosen people. We're to seek God first. And for us now, they were really fortunate. They had all these prophets who said, "I'm a prophet, I will tell you what God says." But for us now, how do we do that? How do we seek God? Well, again, it's said so many times in church, but as we read our Bibles, as we get into our Bibles, as we read them, we see God's plans for us. We can discern how God wants us to move and what He wants us to do. And as we pray, as we come before Him in prayer, earnestly praising, worshiping, adoring, confessing, thanking God, praying for things, as we do that, have that relationship and communication with God, we will be seeking God's will for our lives. And we also do it as a church family together, as we support each other, as we love each other, as we help each other to live as God's chosen people where He has put us. But we need to seek God. You see, if we lose the wonder of being God's chosen people, if we forget that we're treasured, that we're meant to be His servants, that we are blessed to bless, we're going to stop seeking God. We're not going to read our Bibles as much. We're not going to pray as much. We're not going to see the importance of being part of a church family and working with and helping for and praying with each other. So we are to seek God. And then second, well, we are to follow God. Pretty simple so far. We're to seek and to follow. It's a wee bit like the GB motto thing, you know. But in verse 3, what does it say? "Then the men of Judah said to the Simeonites, their brothers, 'Come up with us into the territory allotted to us to fight against the Canaanites. We, in turn, will go with you into yours.' So the Simeonites went with them." God's chosen people did as God said. They followed God. It's so important to do, but it's actually quite a difficult thing for us to do. We need to seek God, and then we need to follow Him. And just note here that Judah said to Simeon, "Come and help us." And you know, it's okay to ask for help as we follow God. It's okay to say, "Look, can you help us to do this? God wants us to do this, but can you help us?" And we go and we help each other. And I'll help you out later on. You know, we are a church family. We need to learn from this as well. It's really simple. As servants of God, we seek and follow Him. For us now, we read that Jesus told the disciples to follow Him, that they would become, they would be fishers of men. At the end of Matthew, we read that Jesus said that they were to go into all the world and make disciples. They were to make disciples. They were to be a blessing to the world. And that is what it looks like now. Right now, in this day and age, to live as the chosen people of God where God has placed us. We are to live serving God because of what He has done for us through Jesus Christ. We are to seek and follow Him, and we are to be a blessing to the world. As we continue in Judges, in verse 4, we see that as we seek and as we follow, God rewards. When Judah attacked, the Lord gave the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hands, and they struck down 10,000 men at Bezek. It was there that they found Adonai Bezek and fought against him, putting to right the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Adonai Bezek fled, but they chased him and caught off his thumbs and big toes. Not great for him. God's chosen people will be rewarded as they serve and seek God, as they follow God. They were rewarded because they did as God had told them, and they won. And the same is true for us now. We will be rewarded. We will be blessed in our lives as we seek and follow God. And yes, some of those blessings may be now, and that might happen. But definitely the blessings will be in heaven when we are rewarded for seeking and following God, for living for Him, when we will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But there's also a warning here in verse 7. Then Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off have picked up scraps under my table. Now God has paid me back for what I did to them. They brought him to Jerusalem and he died there. The story of Adonai Bezek stands as a warning to all that God will repay evil. God is a God of justice, which we will see as we read through the book of Judges. Adonai Bezek didn't seek or follow God. Yes, he had actually probably heard about God, knowing all of the amazing things that God had done, but he was not part of the chosen people. He did evil, and God repaid that evil. And the world must hear the warning about doing evil. God punishes our evil. We must hear it too. We are to bring a message of hope through Jesus Christ, of forgiveness that can be found through repentance, seeking and following God. This is why we need to seek and follow God, being a blessing and bringing the blessing of Jesus to the world, just like God promised Abraham. And then as you continue down through verses 8 to 18, there's an interesting little section about Caleb giving land to his daughter and his son-in-law and being asked for land and giving it away. And basically, they were enjoying the blessing of seeking and following God, the reward and living in the land the way the land should have been lived in. And then we see a couple more victories. In verse 17, we see about the men of Judah went with the Simeonites, their brothers, and attacked the Canaanites, and they totally destroyed the city. We also see the different cities that the men of Judah took in Gaza and different places. They were going, they were doing what God had told them to, and they were being rewarded for it. They were living as the people of God where God had placed them. First 18 verses of Judges, we see a great new start for these people. They are seeking and following God. They are enjoying the reward. Evil is punished. It is great. It's a great new start. They are living as the people of God. And this is how we need to start the new church year, or our new spiritual start. Living as God followers, His servants, where God has placed us. By seeking and following God, seeking His blessings, blessing the world, fighting against evil, being fishers of men, sharing the good news of Jesus, going forth and making disciples. Yes, it's difficult. It's also just simple. We're meant to go out and we're meant to do it. We're meant to live as the chosen people of God, where God has placed us. If you were just reading the Bible for the first time, and you got to where we have just got to in the book of Judges, you would be like, yes, this is really cool. You know, chosen people of God are in the place God had put them, so they're going to start doing as God had said to Abraham. They're going to be a blessing. They're going to be blessed, and they're going to be a blessing to the world as they live as the chosen people of God, seeking and following God, being rewarded, and heeding the importance of God's warning. You'll be thinking, yeah, that's great. But then sadly, from verse 19, we see a different picture. We see that they were a flawed people. They didn't remove the people and their idols like the Lord had told them to. If you look at verse 19, the Lord was with the men of Judah. They took possession of the hill country, but they were unable to drive the people from the plains because they had iron chariots. Verse 27, but Manasseh did not drive out the people of Bethshan. The Canaanites were determined to live in that land. Verse 28, we see when Israel became strong, they pressed the Canaanites into forced labor, but never drove them out completely. It continues to say, but the Canaanites continued to live among them. They were a flawed people, failing to deal with the Canaanites the way the Lord had told them. And they remained among the chosen people of God. But you know, with our lovely little sensibilities of this day and age, we would say, but you know, what harm? What harm could that possibly do? Well, we see this in chapter 2, verse 1. We see that the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said to them, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land that I swore to give to your forefathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars. Yet you have disobeyed me. Why have you done this? I can imagine God saying that. Just looking at the people going, why? Why have you done this? Look what I have done for you. This is his treasured possession. But they haven't done as God had asked them. Now, therefore, I tell you that I will not drive them out before you. They will be thorns in your side, and their gods will be a snare to you. When the angel of the Lord had spoken these things to all the Israelites, the people wept aloud, and the people was called Bochim, which means place of weeping, basically. There they offered sacrifices to the Lord. What harm? What harm could it possibly do? They were disobeying God. They didn't break down the idols and the false gods. It did massive harm, as we see as we read through the book of Judges. Even here, when they are confronted by the angel of the Lord, yes, they wept at this message. They sacrificed. But we can only conclude that it must have been superficial weeping, superficial sacrificing, because they never repented. They never tore down those idols. They never got rid of the people. It was just superficial tears. Basically, through time, these people stopped seeking and following God because they got distracted by the idols that were around them. And God stopped fighting for them. In fact, God started to fight against them. What happened? It started so good. It was so good. Well, the book of Judges has two prologues. That's why it's a little bit funny at the start. Chapter 1, and then you come to chapter 2 where you see about Joshua again, but you assume that Joshua is gone. There's two prologues for this book, and this is the second prologue. It started well, and I want to read a little bit from Joshua 2, verse 6 and 7. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. They had seen the great things. What happened? I think that they stopped telling the stories, passing on the faith from one generation to the next. And we see this in verse 10. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Just thinking about that, that's amazing to me. That in such a relatively short space of time, they could just forget. You see, the other generation, the older generation haven't, we must also conclude, passed on the faith to the next generation, living genuine faith in front of them, giving the next generation genuine faith experiences, encouraging them, challenging them. This was major themes from the book of Deuteronomy. You know, you will teach it to them. You will talk about it when you get up, when you walk, when you lie down, when you eat. They obviously were not talking about God. They were not living out their faith. They were not seeking and following God in front of the generations after them. The chosen people of God failed to teach their children. This was a major flaw that they had. They didn't tell them of all the mighty and wonderful things God had done for them. And then look what happened to these people in verse 11. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook him and served the Baals and the Ashtoreths. They worshipped the Baals. Maybe Canaanite gods, like the storm god Hadad, the son of Dagon. He was the god of rain and of agriculture. Then it mentions the Ashtoreths. And these were deities, and one of them was a goddess of the evening star. She was renowned for her beauty. She was the goddess of fertility, love, and war. And her worship is linked often with the worship of Baal. Because the chosen people of God had failed to seek and to follow God and stop telling the stories and giving the next generation faith experiences, the next generation didn't know God. So they grew up and they looked around them at the idols of the people around them. And maybe they started to say, yeah, that looks good. Sure, these Canaanites had a good crop because they're worshiping this Baal. So maybe we should do that as well this year because we want to get a good crop as well. Maybe they saw the temple prostitutes and thought, hey, that looks good. And they got distracted by all these things that they wouldn't have been distracted by if the people had obeyed God and got rid of the idols and continued to seek and follow God. Because of the failure of the older generation, the next generation, they provoked the Lord to anger. And within Judges, we see this cycle of the people turning from God, then God punishing them, then they cry out to God, God has compassion on them, and then God sends a judge to save them. And we will look at the different judges. Just read verse 15. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them. They were in great distress. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them from the hands of these raiders. They would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshipped them. Unlike their fathers, they quickly turned from the way in which their fathers had walked to the way of disobedience. And then verse 18, it's really important as we look at God's dealing with his flawed people. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. For the Lord had compassion on them as they groaned under those who oppressed and afflicted them. This is an amazing thing about God. Even though these people had forsook him, they had worshipped other gods, they had done hideous things, he still had compassion on them. He still sent a judge to save them. And yes, those judges had flaws. And we will learn from those judges. But sadly, one judge came, and then they went back to their old ways. And then the judges basically progressively got worse as well near the end. The parallel of all of this for us now, it has to be so obvious. What are the idols that we allow to remain that distract us and the next generation? What do we need to deal with that we are refusing to deal with? We may say whatever that idol is that is taking us away from the Lord. We may start by saying, sure, hey, what harm will it do? Well, it will do even more harm than we could ever imagine. Joshua's generation could never have conceived of what happened to the people after them. But they turned away from God. How often have we wept superficial tears about the idols in our lives, where we've heard a sermon or we've been convicted as we've prayed and read God's word about an idol that we need to get rid of, and we go, Lord, help me to get rid of this, and we go and we cry and we're like all genuine about it, and in about 3 minutes we're back to you, or maybe 3 months, or maybe 3 years. We need to take this really, really seriously, because we are also a flawed people. If we do not remove the idols in our lives, we will just trip up. And this is why I believe that so many of us need a new start. We need to deal with those idols that are stopping us from being the disciples we are called to be, that are stopping us seeking and following God, stopping us from making disciples and blessing the world. Why do I say we need this? Well, it's because, really sadly, if we look at the church, the church is shrinking. The church is declining. So we are not doing as we are meant to be doing. Something is holding us back, and it is idols. We are allowing the idols of the world to hold us back. The church should be growing. It should be blossoming. Why does God keep bringing us back to this topic time and time again? Because time and time again in the book of Judges, we see the people turn to God and then turned away. Turn to God, turn away. We are the same. We are a flawed people. And as we start to remove the idols, we will start to live as God's chosen people in the world, telling the next generation, because they will see how we live. They will hear our faith stories. We will share our faith experiences with them, and they will know the wonder of what it is to be a treasured possession of God, to be his servant. You know, the book of Judges uses the word judges for these guys who God sends along. It probably should use the word saviors, because each time the people were in trouble, and God sent a savior to save the people. But as we will notice, they were flawed. We need to get back to basics. We need to get back to the one and only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and see the importance of living for him in this world. Maybe we need a new start. Maybe we need to re-see that we are God's chosen people and seek and follow him. It is actually that simple. But sometimes the easiest things to do are the hardest things to put into practice. Are the hardest things to put into practice. We are a flawed people. Let us have a new start. Let's be the chosen people of God where he has placed us. Let us pray.